Tremendously exciting moment. I've just realised it's been a while since I've done either a cat song or a urination session of the week. So we're going to put paid to both of those issues right now. Here's my guitar. I think we'll go into the ensuite bathroom for a change. Excuse me. Hello, Pippi. I'll just put the light on. Not that I need the light. I know where everything is. The guitar is in my hands. The toilet is in front of me. Oh no, here's a problem. The toilet seat won't stay up of its own accord. Hopefully I can prop it up with the guitar. Although that involves me holding it more like a cello than a guitar. We'll compromise. I'll have the guitar at a diagonal. I think that's going to work. I think I just heard my phone vibrate. No, I didn't. That'd be ridiculous. You can't hear a phone vibrating. You feel it vibrating. What I meant to say is I thought I heard my phone vibrating. I felt my phone vibrating, but I didn't, so that's fine. So, here we go. Now, I hope the guitar doesn't block the sound of the urination. Oh, here we go. I don't know if you can hear that. I'm surprised it doesn't echo through the whole guitar. Anyway, here we go. Cat song urination session. Oh, cat song, cat song, cat song. Cat song, cat song, cat song. I'm trying to think of a cat song, but I'm distracted by the relief of the preceding urination session. Oh, cat song, cat song, cat song. Cat song, cat song, cat song. Something, 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 something. This isn't a very good cat song. Now, I think I've realised the problem. I haven't done a cat song in the ensuite bathroom before, and or a urination session, I don't think, and it didn't really work out. There were toilet seat propping up issues, and all sorts of echoes and things, and frankly, I wasn't happy with it. So I think we'll go and find another toilet now. I'll bring the guitar downstairs, and I won't be able to repeat the urination session just now, because my bladder is empty, but I will do a cat song in the other toilet. To make up for that that problem we had. Now, I'll just put this empty toilet roll holder in the bin, if you don't mind. Here we go. And we're going to the downstairs toilet for a cat song. I think I'll just put the seat down. And the lid, don't worry. I don't want you to worry there. I'm not about to do anything of the nature that you feared I was about to do. Now, this is much better. I can set my recorder down there on top of the piece of furniture, and I can hold the guitar and sit down, and this is going to be much better, I can tell already. Let's see. Cat song, cat song. Oh, that's much better. Oh, I'm sitting on the jacks with a cat song. I'm sitting on the jacks with a cat song. All I have to do now is something, 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 find a way to get out the cat song. Every head has a cat song in it, just like every person has a book in him or her. Every person has a cat song in him. I just have to get it out and let it swim. Because if I'm on the toilet and the cat song comes out and goes straight into the water in the toilet, then it has to be able to swim. Oh, cat song, 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 stuff. Now, there you go. That's fine. Join me at a tremendously exciting moment. I'm in my kitchen. Well, I say in my kitchen. I don't mean I'm actually, well, I do, I suppose I do in a way, but I'm not in the kitchen in the way that I would be in the cathedral if I were buried in it, if I were entombed in it, for example. If you go to some big cathedral in Dublin somewhere, you'll probably find there's some bishop from 800 years ago who's been interned in the cathedral, meaning he's been buried basically under the altar. I'm not in my kitchen in that way. I haven't been buried in it, although I wouldn't rule that out. I would just rule out the possibility of it happening before my death, which I hopefully is quite some distance away in terms of time. Maybe not in terms of space. I may die right here in this space right here. That's fine, as long as the time distance remains quite long, although it will shorten as the time approaches, but that's fine. I assume my mind will adjust to my aging self and will learn to become more comfortable with the concept of my imminent death. Otherwise, we're kind of banjacks. Otherwise, the other possibility is that I'll turn into a raving lunatic and become extremely depressed at the possibility of growing old and probably go rob some banks or something. I don't know, that's probably what most old people do, in fact, if they haven't done what I've just said, I want to do as I get older. I don't know if that makes any sense. It may well do, but if it does, it's probably by accident. Anything that makes sense is usually an accident. The whole human race was an accident. Someone accidentally created Adam and Eve, and somehow they accidentally figured out how to reproduce some genetic thing. Basically, Adam got drunk and Eve got drunk and they met, and for some reason they were naked because clothes hadn't been invented yet, and the rest is history. It's all right there in the history books under the Adam and Eve section. Most of us are descendants of Adam and Eve, although the monkeys apparently aren't. They came from a different lifeline, a different ancestral line, so there was someone else there other than Adam and Eve who bred, and their children turned into monkeys because they weren't brought up very well. Adam and Eve were better parents, so their children didn't turn into monkeys. They grew up to be well-developed, intelligent human beings who admittedly had a penchant for stealing apples and interfering with snakes and, well, listening to snakes. And that's why there's so many cults here. All the people who join cults have got the same gene that Adam and Eve had when they listened to the snake who told them to eat an apple. That's why it's easy for some guy like David Koresh to come along and say, I've got an apple and I've got a cult, come and join me. And in a few years' time, the world will come to an end, and I'll tell you that you have to, you have to blow yourself up, attach an explosive device implanted in a cat to your back, and then that'll explode, and then we'll all die. And I'll become a saint. They say everyone will look on me as an excellent person, except perhaps the police and the courts and the judiciary system and the public and the victims. But apart from that, I'll be a hero. Everyone will think I'm great. And of course, in a couple of thousand years, when everyone's forgot all the gory details, they'll just remember that I was like a fella who, that guy who did the thing a couple of thousand years ago. You know the fella. Basically, the longer history takes to pass, the better the memory civilization has of you is going to be. So I'm not worried that if I have a cult and I get everyone to blow themselves up and I get convicted of mass murder right now, I'm not worried about that, because in a couple of thousand years' time, everyone will think, oh, I was just some sort of a rebel. I was like Che Guevara, or those people who did the hunger strikes in Northern Ireland, who everyone still hates, but that's because it was only 20 or 30 years ago. In a couple of hundred years' time, they'll be heroes. And let's see, who else? Who else will be heroes? Basically everyone. Everyone goes on to be a hero. Satan was nearly a hero, except with the whole... you had a fight with God, which isn't a good idea, really, because God's life is being documented. So if his life is being documented and you're a part of his life, then anything that you do to him is going to be documented, and everyone's going to know about it. It'll all be in the history books, so there's no point. It's just like basically robbing a bank and doing it in front of a camera, so you're caught on camera. Don't get caught doing something with God. because everything he does is recorded. His filming crew is omnipresent, so you won't get away with it. So that was Satan's downfall, basically. That's why Satan lives in the basement now, and basically goes around annoying people, going whispering into their ear and saying, you should form a boy band and sing loads of songs, and then go on, America's Got Talent or something, and sing a song, and then get all angry when the judges say you're crap, and then basically cry, and go off and stick up your two fingers at the audience, because three of your fingers were chopped off as part of your deal with Satan, so you've only got two fingers left, and everyone will think you're being rude then, so they'll think you're evil, which is basically Satan's plan. See, you can't trick Satan, or you can't get one up on him. Even if you do a deal with him, it's always going to be more to his benefit than yours. Any benefit that you get from it is entirely coincidental. It's as coincidental as if I go outside and go into the next estate as I did last week for a walk and happened to come across my cat Pippi. That was a coincidence. It turned out that my house was at the other side of the big wall that she had just come over. Even though I had walked a long distance, she had just come over the side wall. And we were in the same place, so I said, "Hello, Pippi," and she basically looked the other way and said, I don't know him, he's not with me, I don't know who he is, he's nothing to do with me, don't talk to me outside of the house, please, I have a reputation to keep up as a female cat called Pippi, and if I'm seeing with you, basically people will think I'm a kept cat, and having a reputation as a kept cat is bad in the cat community, especially when the place is full of wild cats. Don't tell your wife that you saw me in this bin here. It's just for effect. I'm not eating anything out of it. I'll go back and have a feed of whiskers in a few minutes. But I have to be seen to be pretending to eat out of this bin. Just to keep up my reputation as a wild cat. Rawr, I am Pippi, hear me roar. You're thinking something like, I wonder what else is on my iPod. Is This Week in Tech downloaded yet? I don't know. I can't remember. I didn't check my iPod this morning when I updated it. I'll just have a look now. Now you're thinking, you're thinking, oh, maybe when I finish looking for this, I'll go back and listen to the rest of that into your head. I wonder, is he doing one of those segments where he tries to say what I'm thinking? Well, I don't know. I'll go back in a minute and see when I unpause it. I'm checking at the moment whether I've downloaded This Week in Tech. I appear not to have, so I'll go back and finish listening to that Irish guy. I'll just hit play again now. Here we go. Always seems to be still talking about what he thinks I'm thinking. Which is hardly surprising since I paused it. It's not like a radio where you switch away from the program and then you come back and he's moved on from a discussion about cats to something about the economic situation in Outer Mongolia. No, he's continued exactly where he left off when I pressed pause. So I shouldn't be surprised at all. And really I'm not. He's just saying that I'm surprised. He's going on doing one of his I know what you're thinking things. Strangely enough, he does seem to know what I'm thinking. He's quite accurate in what he's describing as my thoughts. Hopefully he hasn't got right into my innermost thoughts, particularly that one about the... never mind what it is. You don't want to know. But basically, yeah, he's reading my thoughts, all right. Fair play to him. What we'll achieve, I'm not sure. Maybe it's just filler for entertainment. Maybe he's just filling up some time while he waits for me to come back and unpress pause. Well, I think we established that doesn't make any sense. If I press pause, he doesn't need to do any filler while it's on pause. Because the program is on pause, that's why. I don't mean pause as in a cat's pause. I mean pause as in a temporary halt has been pushed to the playing of the program. Maybe he's hit pause in his recording equipment as well. That would explain it. Maybe he waited till the exact moment when I pressed pause on my iPod, and at that point he pressed pause on his recording device. although I have to think this one out. You're putting me under pressure now with my thoughts. I can't think this through right now, so I'll have to think about that later when my day is over and I'm lying in bed trying to sleep. I'll think about that and try to figure it out. But for now, I'll hand you back to my psychic host, Neil O'Carroll, because I don't want to keep on reading my thoughts out to you. I'm a humble listener, and it's none of your business what I'm thinking anyway, so I'll hand you back to the presenter, Neil O'Carroll. Here he is. So that's basically what you're thinking. Now, you join me at a tremendously exciting moment. I'm sitting at my kitchen table. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking he's probably eating. Well, no, I'm not. I'm not eating. Well, you're right to say that I'm probably eating. There's an 80% possibility that I'm eating right now. If you work out the chances, basically, people who are at their kitchen tables are usually eating. So I am probably eating, but in actual fact, I'm not eating. So you're right about the fact that I'm probably eating, but I'm not eating. So, well done on that. You got it right, but you're just unlucky this time in that the probabilities were in favour of something that wasn't actually happening. But I can't fault you here. If you say I'm probably eating, I can't argue with that. I am probably eating, but as I say, no, I'm not eating. I'm sitting at my laptop computer, which is on the table. It's not a tabletop computer, it's a laptop computer, but it's dangerous to put it on your lap, because it could overheat, and that could affect your sperm, if you have that on your lap. So no, I don't have the laptop on my lap, not least because my lap is obliterated by the table under which my lap is resting at the moment. So I've just used the table. I'm basically using the table as a laptop tray that doesn't touch my lap. It's resting on four pillars that's distributed its balance over the kitchen floor, or at least over an area of the kitchen floor that's approximately the same size as the surface area of the tabletop. So that's basically my setup here. So anyway, as I say, I'm at my computer, my laptop computer. And I'm basically surfing the internet. I'm on Twitter at the moment. I'm reading. There's someone posting about stuff. There's someone saying there are a lot of birds singing this morning. Someone else says cabaret live in 3 hours. And let's see what else. Someone else says no idea what is on the agenda today. It is 7:18 SA for FLO time plus 10:18. YYZ time. I've no idea what that means. I think it means the guy's in Canada, and he's basically writing about his stuff in Canada and saying stuff. I don't know. I don't even know that guy. He's just there because he's on some frigging podcast I listen to or something. I don't know. Anyway, suffice to say, I'm on the internet. That's a little taste of what I'm getting on the internet at the moment. Now, it's probably not of much interest to you, so there's no point in me trying to repurpose my internet leisure time as a creative podcast subject thing, creation time, whatever you call it. I don't know. My verbal comprehension, my verbal enunciation isn't working very well today, as you'll notice. I find it difficult to say things, which is probably a problem since I'm doing a talk radio program. But it's not as much a problem as you think. I mean, I don't even speak English, but yet I've managed to do over 93 episodes of Into Your Head. I think it's a fantastic achievement. It'll be an even more fantastic achievement in a couple of weeks' time when we get to Into Your Head number 100. And then I'll have to go into the three figures. I never got up to three figures in school. We were taught to add up two-digit numbers in our head. But now, come to think of it, the next year we did three-digit numbers. But I suppose I should take that into account. I realised my mistake there when I decided to think back just now over my education. I picked a particular point during my education and said, at that point we hadn't covered three-digit numbers. But we went on to cover three-digit revisit numbers at a later point. So really, when I dove into my past just now, I dove in at the wrong moments. I should really take an overview of my entire childhood, not just one particular point. That's like saying, someone asked me, did you ride a bicycle when you were a child? And I think back to when I was 8 years old, and I think on my 8th birthday I did not ride any bicycles whatsoever. Well, in actual fact, what the person meant to ask me was, at any point during my childhood was I a regular bicycler? Which indeed I was, but not at age 8. At age, approximately age 9 through 13, I was a frequent bicycler. If bicycling was a drug, I would have been considered a user, probably an abuser, I don't know. Although I did abide by the rules of the road, usually. In fact, I took great pride in abiding by the rules of the road when I was a childhood cyclist. I used to take a particular route through the centre of my local town that would bring me around two right turns and down a one-way street, and including a right turn off a busy main street. I took great pride in moving into the correct lane and signalling. In fact, I used to go around that circuit 3 or 4 times of an evening just to pass the time. It was absolutely fucking fantastic. So yeah, basically I'm on the internet. Now, you join me at a tremendously exciting moment. I'm playing Tetris. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, you're thinking, he's not reading my fucking thoughts again, is he? Will you not leave me alone? Well, no, I'm not. I'm reading the thoughts of a different listener at the moment. Don't worry, you can relax. You've played quite enough part in today's show. I do appreciate that it's a spectator sport, and that you don't expect to be pulled out of the audience and have your brain participate in every single segment. So don't worry, I'm not referring to you, I'm referring to another listener. You other listener, I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking he's going on about playing Tetris again. He's done it at least 5 times this year. He's started the segment saying, I'm playing Tetris. Well, that's because I am playing Tetris. Tetris is therapeutic, and it brings out the creative ivity in my mind. It makes me create stuff. Makes me create podcast segments. Admittedly, many of them are about Tetris, but that's fine if it's entertaining. I mean, I've had comments on a previous episode I made called The Tetris Downer saying it was absolutely fantastic. Now, admittedly, that's not the words used in the comments. If they had been the words used in the comment, I would have sued, because absolutely fantastic is one of my catchphrases, and I'm not going to have it regurgitated at me by some listener writing in to praise me, saying it's absolutely fucking fantastic. He might as well start his email saying, you join me at a tremendously exciting moment, if he's going to do that sort of thing. No, I have to stand up and I'll protect my catchphrases. If you have a trademark or over something and you don't protect it when you see someone trying to breach it, then you can automatically lose the trademark. So I assume it's the same thing with catchphrases. So any of you going out saying anything like that, and for that matter, anyone who says anything about cats, you're breaching my copyright. If you say anything about cats, or about urinating, or basically anything that I do, if you try to repeat it or regurgitate it, I'm going to sue you for every penny you've got, and then I'm going to kidnap you and basically crack your skull open with a stone, and put the stone inside your skull, and I'll leave the brain there, but I'll put the stone there as well, and I'll connect the stone up to something, so it's basically dead memory. It'll fill up loads of your memory with useless stone material, wherever a stone is made out of. I don't know what stone is made out of. I think it's made out of some natural fiber that's found in the earth and that accumulates over time. If I remember from my geography lessons at school, stone is made by getting some sand and leaving it somewhere for 500,000 years, and then leaving it somewhere for another 10 billion years, because 500,000 is nowhere near enough to make any sort of respectable stone, unless it's some sort of soft stone, like granite. Granite is probably made more quickly than other types of stone. But granite is no use for anything. What would you use granite for? I suppose you could make a granite ornament. he could make a life-size model of a piece of granite, and he could make that out of granite, and that would look good. It would be an excellent souvenir for American tourists to come over to Ireland and say, give me some of that granite. He'll say, I don't have any real granite, but I've got this genuine replica piece of granite that's been made out of granite. And they'll say, how is it replica then, if it's actually made out of granite? And you'll say, well, it's not local granite from this town, it's from another town, but it's a replica of the granite from this town. It's made in the typical shape that you would find a piece of granite in the ground. If you dug her up with an articulated digging machine, it would come out this shape. So it's made basically in the shape of the shovel of a digging machine. So it's genuine in that way. And they'll ask, what model of digging machine is it made out of in the shape of the bucket of that digging machine? And you'll say, what model do you want? I can do any you want. Do you want a JCB 2007 model, or do you want a digging machine company digging machine number 3.2? Whichever you want, I can do. Just give me 5 minutes and I'll do one up for you, and then I'll give you it, and now you'll have to let it set for 10 million years, but that's fine, you can do that when you get home. You just put it on the windowsill, and it'll all sort itself out. Just make sure you water it every second day, it's very important, and give it some plant food once a month. Now, it won't eat the plant food, but the plant food will do something to the air around it. It'll remove some of the toxins and add some nutritions to the air, but basically that's it, and that'll be €10.85, please, plus tax. The tax is you'll be surprised to hear the tax is very expensive around here. Sorry about that, but that's the way we treat our tourists here. And you want to be a law-abiding citizen, because you love Ireland, that's why you're here. That's why you've come 6,000 miles to visit us, because you love us, so you want to give us money. So basically give me money, that's what I'm saying. And thank you very much, and have a good day. I believe that's what you say over in America. You say, have a good day, and missing you already, even though I'm not. That's a lie. I'm not missing you already. How can I miss you? You're not even gone yet. That's absolutely fucking ridiculous. Typical way you foreigners destroy our English language. Maybe you should go to England and learn some English before you come here. We've already got our Irish language that we're trying to keep going. And it's hard enough to do that when you come over here interfering with the English language that we also have to use. We're trying to juggle two languages here. Cain Fog Willon Gorilla Igdowsilesh on Cat. That's the question that I would put to you.
Hello, I'm Dustin Meehan. Some of you may know me as the voice that goes "Sit, Ubu, Sit" on your favorite family sitcoms. I'm here to tell you about the IntoYourHead.com guestbook. Everybody who's anybody has posted in the IntoYourHead.com guestbook, and you should too. Because you haven't truly partaken in the show, unless you've mingled with the humble and ignorant listeners such as myself. Visit the guestbook now at IntoYourHead.com.
Tremendously exciting moment. I'm back at my kitchen table, as referred to earlier. Well, I refer to my earlier visit to the kitchen table, which I was performing at the time of recording. This is a separate visit to my kitchen table, but it's for a similar purpose. I'm on the internet now. When I say I'm on the internet, I'm not referring to the fact that this recording is on the internet as you listen to it. It's not even on the internet yet, so that would be inaccurate, to say the least. No, I'm on the internet in that I'm perusing various websites. I'm online. My computer is connected to another computer somewhere, which is connecting me to various other computers around the world, depending on where I browse to. So I suppose, to put it simply, I'm on the internet. I'm on the net. I'm surfing, so to speak. Not in the traditional sense. There's no water involved. I suppose this coffee has some water in it. Well, not very much. It has a minimum amount of water in it. In fact, it's a double espresso, a double strength espresso, made with, I would say, less than the amount that you would normally put in a double espresso. I would say it's a 1 2/3 the normal amount of water for a single espresso, but it's got the amount of coffee strength that you would expect in a full double espresso. So I'm being very conservative in the amount of water I'm using, and certainly nowhere near the amount of water that you would use in a traditional surfing session is being used in this session. But that's because it's not a traditional surfing session. I'm not surfing. I'm browsing the internet. I'm surfing the net, as they put it. But I'm not surfing the seas. I'm not out at sea. Not least because I don't live near the sea anymore. I used to live near the sea. I used to live in the town of Bray, County Wicklow, which has its own seafront. It has its own front to the sea and has its own beach. And it has basically an esplanade where you can walk along the side of the sea without getting wet, unless it's a windy day, in which case you get sprayed by the sea. The sea basically spits at you and says, all of this tidal current that's going all over the place is because of you and your pollution and your global warming. Stop warming the globe. I know what you're thinking there, you, as you listen to me, the sea, talking. You're thinking, surely the global warming was caused by the sun warming the globe. But no, that's not true at all. Science has found that the globe is not being warmed by that giant ball of fire that's shining on it for 12 hours a day. It's being warmed by human beings spraying things into their armpits. So don't fall for that crap that the scientists tell you. Not the scientists. The people who aren't scientists tell you. They'll say, this global warming is caused by the sun. It's not. The sun is 92 billion miles away. It can't possibly be warming anything on the Earth. You can prove that by getting a microscope trying to shine some sun onto a blade of grass and start a fire. It never works. It absolutely never works. That's that sort of thing. You try to burn an insect with the magnifying glass. It just doesn't work until you get a match. And of course, that match was created by human beings. So that proves that all global warming was caused by human beings, not the sun. The sun doesn't work anymore anyway, because those humans have destroyed it. We're spraying deodorant at the sun. We're spraying it into the air. And it's basically causing the sun's fires to dampen down. It's like we've got a fire engine spraying water directly at the sun. That's another thing, all of this global warming is causing a lot more water to evaporate, and then of course it evaporates up into space and then it travels to the sun and it dampens the fires of the sun. So that's why the sun is going to die. Not immediately, but it's going to die in a couple of billion years' time. And then we'll be sorry, because we'll have to go and find another star and tow it to be so that it's near enough to our galaxy or whatever you call it to do stuff, and that's going to mess up all the gravity and things. All the planets are going to go out of sync, including Pluto. Of course, we saw that one coming, so we decided recently that Pluto isn't officially a planet anymore, so it doesn't matter what happens to it. But you can't fix everything just by changing words around. Everyone thinks. All of these geeky people got together and said Pluto isn't a planet anymore, it's a planetoid or something. But that's not going to fix anything. Language doesn't fix anything. I could change the name of the sun to, I don't know, fire-eating 92 billion miles away, that's just the same as all the other stars except it's slightly nearer. But that wouldn't change what's the course of history, except that it would make a lot of books and essays a lot longer, because they have to replace the word sun with the phrase fire-eating that's 92 million miles away and not as close as the other stars, but is therefore appears brighter, or whatever I said it was. That would make a lot of books longer. Of course, that would use up more of the Earth's precious resources, and that would probably cause the sun to die even sooner. So it's a vicious circle, this whole environmental whatever. And the environmental issue, the big environmental issue, which of course is made up of lots of little issues. It's like a tree ply issue. A tree ply toilet tissue is made up of tree plies. Those three different tissues. Similarly, the issue of the environment is made up of several issues. So it's like a several ply issue. It's made up of several issues. Issues such as global warming, polar cooling. What's the other one? Basically, water evaporating into other places where it's not supposed to be, and therefore being unavailable for our use, and people getting very thirsty. Now, there's probably a shorter word for that issue, but I'm not an issue word description creator. I just I'm more a tinker than a doer, so I don't come up with new words first. I leave that to other people. I just give my thoughts on the matter, as I just did. Yes, what would be a tremendously exciting moment if it weren't a repetition of an earlier exciting moment. Because, well, you've guessed it, I'm playing Tetris again, and I'm not afraid to admit that playing Tetris for the second time in one show is not exciting. But if it were the first time in the show that I'd play Tetris, then it would be exciting. For you, anyway. Not for me, because, of course, the chances are that I would have played Tetris earlier anyway and just not recorded it, or else decided that the earlier session wasn't exciting enough to use. But if it were the first time in this show that I was playing Tetris, it would be exciting for you anyway, because you wouldn't have heard me playing Tetris in this current episode of Into Your Head. But anyway, the fact remains, I'm playing Tetris. That's a fact that can't be changed. There's no point in trying to avoid the issue or skirt around this. I could come round here and say, you join me at a tremendously exciting moment. I'm sitting at my kitchen table, which indeed I am. I'm sitting in front of my computer, which indeed I am. And I'm doing something else, but I don't want to tell you what I'm doing in case it takes away from the excitement. There's no point doing that. That's just avoiding the issue, skirting around it. And if you do that sort of thing, it's all going to come out at some point in the future, and everything's going to fall apart, and you'll regret it. So I want to be honest and open with you, the listener. I am playing Tetris again. It's the sort of thing that you want to play more than once. It's rather addictive, if you ask me. I was playing it earlier, and I'm playing it again now. What do you want me to do? Sometimes I have more than one coffee in one day, too. I repeat things. If I enjoy an experience, I want to do it again. Call me boring, if you like, but if you have a nice piece of cake, and there's more cake left, you'd be foolish not to go and eat more cake, unless you're saving it for someone else or something. There's no point just eating a little spoonful of the cake and loving every morsel of it and then letting the rest of the cake rot, or else throwing it in the bin. That's just wasteful. So no, if I enjoy a game of Tetris and I'm still in the mood for Tetris, I'll come back later if I'm in position to do so and I play more Tetris. Sorry if it's not entertaining enough for you, but there you go. Fuck, I've lost. I've lost that game. I've lost this game of Tetris. By that I mean I've well, yeah, I think you know what I mean. If you're a Tetris player, all of the blocks have come down too quickly and got stuck on top of each other, and I can't bring any more blocks down, so I've lost the game. I don't lose any money. I haven't gambled any money on it, I'm glad to say, because I couldn't afford to. I can't afford to be going around gambling on games of Tetris with myself. If I did, to be perfectly honest, I'd fix the game. I'd make damn sure that I won it more times than I lost it. Now, I don't have the technical ability to reprogram a software game, but I'm sure I know someone who does. Let's see, who do I know who can play a game of Tetris and change it? There's probably some listeners who can do it. So if you can, write in, I suppose, and give you the code for your game of Tetris. And I'll read the code out on the show, and that'll fill up an hour or so. And the listeners can write it down and put it into whatever you push programming code into, and then create the game. As long as the person who contributes the code is happy enough to consider to be have it treated as freeware, and they don't mind other people compiling the code into basically a copy of their game, because that's how you distribute freeware on the internet. You get someone to read out the code on the podcast and get other people copy it. There's probably some easier way of doing it. I don't know. I'm not familiar with this sort of thing. I don't go around reprogramming games of Tetris or soliciting reprogrammed versions of the code for a game of Tetris every day of my life. Frankly, it's not really what I'm into. This passion for Tetris will probably wear out after a few days, and I won't play it again for about a year, and then I'll become addicted again. But again, that'll be short-lived. Because that's basically, that's how this sort of thing works. Well, I don't know whether it works. I haven't tested it. I've never tested this system of Tetris game adaption. Well, I'm sure it does. It seems to work in theory in my head. I mean, I've been describing it for the last 4.5 minutes, and I haven't no problems have occurred to me with it. Other than that possible copyright issue, but I think we've established that can be dealt with by checking with the donator first that he or she agrees to have his copyrights waived. So there you go. I think that's sorted out, to be perfectly honest. Me. I've just been outside. I'm not outside now. I'm inside now. But that's a sound issue. It's windy out, and it's less windy indoors. In fact, it's not windy at all indoors. It's not. I can't prove that. I don't have some sort of device where I can measure the movement of currents around the house or detect whether any exist. But as far as I'm concerned, it's not. Using the casual definition of the word, it's not windy indoors. If it was, I would consult the builders who made this house, because it's still under its 10-year warranty. And if it were windy inside the house by my casual definition right now, I would raise a query under that warranty and have it dealt with, because you can't have bits of the house falling off only 2.5 years after you buy it. That's not acceptable at all. Unless it's an 800-year-old castle, in which case it probably would be reasonable to expect it to be windy. In fact, you'd probably pay a premium for that sort of a building, because people like castles. Castles are, apparently, if your house is more than 800 years old, it's considered a benefit. But if it's between 100 and 600 years old, then it's considered old and stupid. But as soon as it's from one extreme to the other. Your house has to be either brand new or very, 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 very old. And if it's somewhere in between, that's apparently a bad thing. That's what they say anyway, the estate agents, when you ask them. I asked my local estate agent, would my house be valuable if it were 800 years old? And she said, why do you ask? And I said, it's none of your business why I ask. Just answer the question. And then bill me for your professional advice. And she said, well, I'd have to see this house of yours. Has it got turrets on it? And is there some sort of a canal running around it with a drawbridge going over it? And I said, no, but I'm sure that can be arranged. Tell me what to do. I know some landscape gardeners. And she said, is this some sort of a television program and I'm being caught out? Or are you from the morning zoo program on the radio? Or are you trying to trick me into recording a funny prank call for your radio show? And I said, no, that's not entirely accurate anyway. I'm not on the morning zoo program on the radio, although I do have an online radio show called Into Your Head, which you can listen to at intoyourhead.com. Or you can go into your iTunes and search in the podcast section of the iTunes store, and then press subscribe when you find it. In fact, that's preferable. So I said all that to her, and then she said, why are you telling me all this? And she said, and I said, well, because you're my psychiatrist and I pay you to listen. And she said, I'm not your psychiatrist, that's the building next door. And I said, how can a person be a building? That's ridiculous. The building next door is a building, it's not a psychiatrist. Although it may well house a psychiatrist's firm's office. And it may well house, in fact, the surgery of the psychiatrist. Although why it's called a surgery, I don't know. It's not like he operates on people's brains. He's just, maybe he calls it a clinic, I don't know. I've heard psychiatrists' places of consultation were being referred to as surgeries, and it's ridiculous. It's not a surgery at all. No more than a doctor's surgery is a surgery. Although he does do minor procedures, the doctor probably does things like pulling wax out of people's ears with a knitting needle, or what else? He probably cuts off ingrowing toenails, cuts them out to stop them growing inwards. And then, or else he reverses them. If your toenail is ingrowing toenail, then you have to have it reversed or else lose it. It's a bit like with the dentist. If your tooth is sore, he has to either reverse the pain and make it feel positively pleasant, or else he has to remove it. It's one or the other. You can't have it both ways, and you can't have it neither way. That's what the medical profession would have you believe anyway. But as far as I'm concerned, they're all in it for the money. Very few of these doctors are in it as a charity thing, which I suppose is reasonable, since they do have to pay for these surgeries. There's rent to be paid on the surgeries and on the doctor's house if he hasn't bought it outright, which if he's a young doctor, he may well not have. But perhaps I'm over-analysing at this stage, and perhaps I've forgotten what I was talking about. I suppose it's possible. I think I was talking about the wind. It's not, as I say, oh yes, that's right, that's where I was. I've just come out of the wind. It's windy outside. I didn't feel it appropriate to record this segment outside. And that's just as well, because if I had recorded this outside, it would have been a very different segment. It wouldn't, for a start, have begun with me saying I've just come in from outside and then talking about the fact of the reasons why I came in from outside. In fact, no, it would probably contain me going on and on about the wind outside and excusing the bad sound quality and explaining it and apologising, which would make for a very tremendously uninteresting, deeply uninteresting and unexciting programme as far as I'm concerned.